Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining podcast. Today's interview is my second interview with Greg Beischer, President and CEO of Alaska Energy Metals Corporation. Alaska Energy Metals trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol AEMC. AEMC is focused on developing the large-scale bulk tonnage polymetallic Eureka deposit containing nickel, copper, cobalt, chromium, iron, platinum, palladium, and gold, located in the interior Alaska near existing transportation and power infrastructure. Its flagship project, the Nikolai Project, is well situated to become a significant domestic source of strategic energy-related metals for North America. Greg and I discuss their mineral resource estimate and the exciting opportunities ahead. We discuss the nickel market and pricing and why clean metals and stronger ESG policies are needed. Greg speaks about Alaska and his passion and knowledge of the land and how Alaska Energy Metals is here to do things right for mining and the environment. To find out more, visit alaskaenergymetals.com. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence and read all disclaimers and disclosures at the end of the show. This podcast is a paid-for interview with AEMC. Greg, it's so great to have you back on the show. It's been a few months since we last spoke. Big updates with your mineral resource estimate. Can we just start off with that for investors that may have not seen that yet?
You bet. Thanks for inviting me back, Callie. Well, it's a lot of water under the bridge since we spoke just a few months ago. Our team really came through. We ended up publishing a resource calculation that even substantially exceeded my own expectations for ourselves. 3.9 billion pounds of nickel documented in an indicated level resource on top of 4.2 billion pounds of nickel in the inferred category. And as a geologist, I'm not allowed to add inferred plus indicated, but you could do it in your head. It's like 8.1 billion pounds of nickel. And there's copper and cobalt and platinum and palladium in the resource to go with it. So it's already a very, very substantial deposit. I think the best comparison for it is Canada Nickel's Crawford deposit. We're already about 75% the size of Crawford with higher grade and a very good configuration that allows for a low strip ratio. So, Canada Nickel's trading at $250 million market cap, and today we're 12. So there's a lot of room to move up there as we continue to drill, grow the resource, and move it like Canada Nickel's into the measured and indicated category.
You also found a higher grade zone in the project. Is that correct as well?
Two things on grade. First of all, within the Eureka deposit, which turns out is this great huge slab of uniformly mineralized rock that goes for kilometers. We've drilled 4.5 kilometers of it so far, but I can trace it for over 12 kilometers by historical drill holes, geophysical surveys, and surface sampling. And it's thick, Kelly. This thing is 300 meters thick in true width. And so it's a really, really substantial deposit, but there's a 100 meter thick, higher grade core zone within the deposit. And so that's a great thing because we can mine that early in the sequence. We wouldn't have to move any waste rock and we'd be mining the highest grade material available, which will help with more rapid payback of capital, which is always helpful in the economics of these bulk tonnage mining operations. But the other thing on grade is that separately on the Canwell block of claims, we've got some really exceptional prospects at surface. Still just prospects at this point. We don't have a deposit yet, but we've done all the geophysical surveys necessary below these surface showings of high-grade nickel sulfide. They're really compelling drill targets. The geophysics tells us there's metals in the ground of substantial proportion below the surface prospect. So we'll drill a series of holes to test those geophysical anomalies. And if we intersect anything like is exposed at surface, high grade, massive sulfides, that'll be an absolute game changer for the company.
You kind of answered part of the question when you were comparing yourself to Canada Nickel, but is there any comparables on U.S. soil that have a potential of 8 billion pounds of nickel in the ground? Or
yeah, I think, the Talon deposit in Minnesota, different style. It's a higher grade deposit, would be mined by underground methods. But I think it's a really interesting project that would have a substantial endowment. There's others in northern Minnesota that are tougher from a permitting standpoint that might be in the same sort of ballpark. Park on size, but I suspect at this point we could say that Eureka is one of the larger accumulations of nickel on U.S. soil.
As we just talk about the U.S. right now, obviously so many geopolitical tensions, the whole nickel narrative has been interesting. I feel like, Indonesia obviously flooded the market and it's almost counterproductive to the narrative of green energy. How do you think that's going to play out, or where do you see that nickel story going as, people become more aware of green investing, how dirty basically and destructive that nickel is, and how important it is, I think, for energy and critical minerals independence in the U.S.?
Yeah, it really is a sad situation. I've not been there personally, but some of the things I've seen on video, sadden me as a mining executive to see the destruction that's going on there. And it really does make no sense. If we're driving electric cars here in Europe and North America to put less carbon in the air, this is not the way to do it, because they're just burning massive amounts of coal to liberate the nickel from the particular type of ore that they've got. So it just doesn't work, and we have to discern between those. If we really want to protect the atmosphere, then we've got to do this right. And I just don't understand personally right now why ESG policies of major car or battery manufacturers would allow such metal to be used in their manufacturing, because if they're honest about their policies, they should not be using that metal. And we have to use metals that come from free trade countries where we have the highest possible environmental standards. And certainly America and Alaska have the highest standards in the world. We really do it right here. And so we should be mining these metals in our own country and putting them in the cars that are helping reduce carbon into the air.
I love that answer. I think more geologists should stand up and say what you're saying. So let's talk about your news that just came out.
Yeah, as you know, previously we were called Millrock Resources, and we were a prolific generator of earlier stage projects all over Sonora State, Mexico, and in Alaska, my home base. And as a result, over those 15 years of operations, we built up some assets in the company, royalties and shares in other junior companies, and we still have a portfolio of gold projects here in Alaska. So over the last little while, we've been liquidating some of these assets to bring money into the treasury and just to refine our focus on our main project, Nikolai Nickel Project.
Can I make an educated guess that some of selling off some of those assets are going to then help fund your drilling program for 2024?
Yeah, it's not enough to do that, but it gives us a bit of breathing room. We will be doing an equity financing very soon to raise additional funds for our summer work.
And do you have a plan going forward for your drilling program? Like how many targets, how many holes? And
there's three main thrusts to the summer program. The first is to drill several targets at the Canwell block of claims, where we have these compelling targets under high grade surface mineralization. A couple of holes to extend the Eureka deposit to the southeast, focusing particularly on the higher grade core zone, and then finally advance our metallurgical studies so that we can show the market that we do have that good recovery. So those are the three best things we can do for the project in a limited capital scenario. All three of them will move the needle, and doing. And in the interim, too, we continue our efforts to access government grant funding. We notice with great interest that, for example, Graphite One, a company operating here in Alaska, received a $37 million grant to do a feasibility study on their graphite project. Well, I think our Nikolai project certainly checks a lot of the boxes on critical and strategic metals and is of interest to the United States. And we should be able to access that Department of Defense grant funding as well, which would be a game changer for the company. It would allow us to accelerate our efforts significantly. And I think we have a really good chance at getting these types of grants.
Wow, that's very exciting. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, where your stock's at. I feel, you know, it's a great opportunity to jump back in. I think, you know, with the election coming up in the U.S., you know, typically metals do well and we have a good run in the market. So it looks like a great opportunity for investors to find an undervalued nickel project and stock right now, but tell us from your perspective what's going on and what they can expect.
Right. Yeah, it's been a disappointment to see what's happened. I have to bear some of the responsibility, but you know, part of it is just the overall nickel narrative. The price of nickel went down during the year. It wasn't the hot commodity that it was when we started the company a year ago, but it's coming off bottom now on the uptick. And, you know, there's been dire predictions that the price of nickel is never going to come back up. But I remember 2005 when people said that, and then the next thing you know, the price of nickel had doubled. And so, you know what they say, if you're not a contrarian, you're a victim. And certainly a contrarian play where for a variety of reasons, our share price has been knocked way down. And so for the retail investor, this is an excellent opportunity to build a position at a very, very low cost. You know, it's gone so low, people wonder, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with the company? Is there something wrong with the deposit? But there isn't. And, you know, we just need to get through, and I think we'll come surging back. And who knows, a year from now, we could be in a roaring metals market, a roaring nickel market. And I think that at that point, our share price should be moving up, or our market cap should be moving up a lot closer to the peer companies that we can demonstrate that we score highly with.
You know, it's in good hands. When you have a geologist CEO, I'm maybe biased on that opinion, but, you know, you're going to spend the money and putting the in the ground, making, you know, good findings. So I always love a geologist as a CEO because I know they're going to spend the money where it counts.
Thanks. Yeah, but it's really important on the capital markets front too. And, you know, we should have raised money right after we announced our resource in February. We thought the share price would go higher, but it didn't, and then now it's gone low. So that ultimately was a mistake. Looking back, didn't know at the time, but that's why we are right where we are at the moment. But again, just made a great opportunity for investors to come in at this point.
That's right. Some of the mistakes out there become the best opportunities. Can we just, for some of the investors that maybe haven't seen the show before, can we just talk about the team and the people behind? Because you obviously have a lot of past success. So let's just reiterate that.
Sure. Well, you know, I have a very long history with this particular Nikolai project. It was back in 1995 that my employer at the time, the big nickel mining company called Inco, asked me to move to Alaska. And I did, and did 5 great years of work on Nikolai. Then it passed on to other hands, but I've remained in Alaska and explored all over the state ever since. And 17 years ago now, we formed Millrock Resources. And so the team's been together that whole time, exploring for all manner of metals in Alaska and other places. And so we know our home state very, very well. The people, the politics, and the prospectors, we know all about it. And I feel we're in an excellent position to not only explore efficiently, make more discoveries, but also to move into the permitting process. We have people that are very well versed in mine permitting. We're very big on community relations, and it's an important part of how we operate. So yeah, being from here in Alaska on home turf, where we really value the wilderness, the outdoors, and all the things that make this such a great place. And we know we can coexist with that, but it has to be done right. And we're here to do it right.
Greg, I know you're always on the road. You're shaking hands with everyone. I just saw you at Metals Forum. Where are you going to be next? Where can investors reach out to you at the next conference?
Well, I'm going to be here in Alaska for a little while, but there's investor conferences upcoming early June in both New York and Toronto. So I'll be there.
For investors that are out there that, you know, maybe they're asking the question of where this is going, what do you want to give as your, you know, send off to them if they're unsure of whether it's the nickel space or Alaska Energy? What's your words of wisdom and hope for them?
Right. Well, as an investor, again, it's always best in a cyclic business like metals to be the contrarian. When something's low, it's likely to go higher, but it's impossible to predict exactly where the low spot is. So the best thing to do is to dollar forward average, buy a little bit of stock every few days or every week, and build yourself a position somewhere near the bottom. And then when things take off, and they do seem to take off in a hurry, then you bought at a low price, and you can capitalize pretty readily.
That's great. Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks, Kelly. Take care. Bye.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. InvestorIdeas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to InvestorIdeas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.